Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by the comedian, Rod Gilbert.
On yeah,
a
really
serious
interesting
subject.
Yeah.
But was very interesting. We squeezed in a bit of sport, as you'll discover. Danny Kelly joined us. He's been bringing us the best of the My Sporting Life archive.
Bruce Grobbelaar this time.
And very interesting.
Fascinating life he's had, isn't it?
Tony Cascarino popped up as well to look back on the Chelsea's first game under Thomas Tuchel. Let's just say he wasn't massively impressed.
Tony really
did go for it. Very interesting stuff. We found out a bit more about Max's magic toolbox,
well,
which could be...
Yes, not a euphemism.
No, that's it. And we had a birthday spread.
What a game it was.
It was sensational. Here it all is.
Jackie Elphin, it's great to see Jackie. You know, it gives hope to us all, doesn't it? Speaking of old people. You know, now they've started writing. Phil Jagielka is 38 years and 163 days. There's an age of football you get to where suddenly...
The days matter.
The days matter. So I did some research, Paul. Would you like to
know? Did you write?
You are...
Blimey, that's good.
Yeah,
I mean, I've got to be fair. You showed me your setup for the games. I've decided that I'll only focus on one game and I'll just have to catch up on highlights. Yeah. And so I did see a fairly turgid affair between Chelsea and Wolves through at the bitter end. And then, actually, I did change. I did flick from the Everton-Leicester game when Sheffield United scored and kind of stuck with that.
No, yes, and I did.
You have like three different... You had the Leicester game, the bit in the middle, didn't you? Palate cleanser.
The sorbet, Brighton-Fulham.
Brighton-Fulham, sorry. Yes.
Yeah, well, that was annoying because at least with the 6 o'clock and the 8:15, you get half an hour just to yourself.
Yeah.
Where you can take stock. But yeah, I'd go main game on the telly. So I went Chelsea on the telly, Burnley on the laptop. And then at one point, I had to have my phone. I couldn't even text
people. But you end up not watching any of them.
So I have no insight in any of the games. But Jagielka, 38 years, 163 days. Mm. Paul, you are 59 years, 119 days. You were born on a Sunday. You've been alive for 21,669 days.
Have I really?
I don't know if that's a good thing. What was your favourite day of those 21? Could you give us a rundown of 21,669?
Come on, let's have your top 10 days of your life. 0871. Yeah, we won't bother with that.
I got a great message about Sheffield United's kit from someone called Finton. So it's not often an away kit. It's a combination of the colours of their home kit. Like they got a fresh home kit and they bunged it straight in the wash.
Yeah.
And the red went into the white and made this perfect pink.
That was brought in a bin bag, wasn't it? That was definitely came in a big black bin bag. And we've had great tales over the years. I mean, has this happened to you? Have you, the person in charge of washing the kit, who then forgets that moment when they open their boot to chuck their boots in, which they haven't opened since last Sunday.
Yeah.
And then there's this sort of... they wondered why the back window had started to steam up.
Yeah.
And then they realise that they've not actually taken the kit out and everybody's going to have to put on stinking wet kit again.
Or a long trip to like West Wickham. And someone's put it in the tumble dryer and it's all shrunk and you all look like you're in those Arsenal kits that are just really tight. What did you think of the Chelsea game?
It wasn't one for the neutral. So I was keeping in touch with Andy throughout the game and sort of seeing it through his slightly more biased eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, ultimately, as I said to him at the end, you know, you should have won it, but you could have lost it. I mean, the great Neto chance probably was the best chance of the game. It wasn't great to watch, wasn't it? It's very early days. You can't judge a manager on that, really.
Do you think Tuchel needs more time?
I think he does. Yeah, I think maybe. It would be wrong to start calling for his hedge, although there was that caller, Darren Lewis from the Mirror, alerted us to somebody who phoned Adrian once he'd seen the...
Before kickoff,
when he'd seen... He said, I want him gone now. I've seen his first 11. I want him out. It was great, wasn't it?
I like that he's the second coming of the child catcher from Titty Titty Bang Bang, isn't he? Hates young people. Barney Ronnie made a good point, you know, that Havertz and Pulisic are younger than Mount and Abraham. Foreigners can be young too.
They can, of course.
And I also really like everyone being, you know, everyone saying, like, he only arrived in London yesterday and he's fluent in English, as if he hadn't spoken a word of English until yesterday. If that's the case, fair play, the guy's a genius. But I don't know if you've ever been to Germany. It's a lovely place.
Yeah, very nice, yeah.
They learn quite a lot of English. They do.
They're pretty proficient all round, aren't they? But he was great to watch on the touchline, wasn't he? He kind of lived it all. Yes. When you look at some of the stills, I mean, one looks like Freddie Mercury on stage at Live Aid with the head back. He's doing the Dales. Yeah, it's... But no, he's very animated and he's very much into it. He did say something a bit weird, didn't he? He said one of the things that pleased him most was the 16 recoveries. I wondered some of the boys who drink in the pub over the road, some of the old shed lads, whether they stand this and, oh, he's going to be great. Look at the amount of recoveries we did, boys.
He said, I think the supporters would have liked what they saw. 16 recoveries in the last third is proof of energy on the pitch.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to take that sentence completely out. It was within a larger context.
But if your manager at Polytechnic, where you play on a Saturday afternoon, started talking to you about, he was incredibly impressed with the teams you came in, you've lost 4-0, but 16 recoveries. I mean, you'd be going, hey, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I've put this out. We'd like to hear those 81089 on the text at Max Rushton at TSH&J. You know, when either, it's the question is either, you know, moments where your manager's made you go, you what?
Yeah.
Or silver linings managers have tried to put upon not really the greatest things. I mean, Elle says, our assistant manager likes to bellow, protect your spaces. I haven't got a clue, he says. This is a good one of the lads.
I imagine stuff that gets shouted from a touchline Saturday afternoon, Sunday mornings in the lower reach, there is probably some real rot that doesn't stand any. You just let the manager shout it. You think, let's not ask him what it means because, you know, none of us care. We don't react to it. So just let him keep shouting. It makes him feel like he's Jose Mourinho.
I've had managers say, look, we're doing the high press today. You look around going, I'm not sure we are, mate. Jack says, I remember getting trounced 8-1 in Penrith, but the gaffer being buzzing because we could go back up the M6 to Carlisle and call it the Burger King at Southwaite Services. That's nice, isn't it?
Yes.
So, yeah, if you could keep those
some
going,
silver
please.
Linings and some of those things the old gaffer said to you, you went, eh?
This is nice from Paul. We were 2-1 up at half-time. The manager turned to one of the subs and said, you'll have to take the team talk. I've been busy catching up with Carol. We haven't seen each other for 20 years and her boy's playing for the opposition. So that's a nice one, isn't it?
Now, I noticed the other day when you came in, Max, you'd cut your own hair. We didn't talk about this yesterday.
No.
And, well, I guess you had because you'd had a haircut and I knew you wouldn't flout the rules like that. So you would have done it yourself, which is bold. Because it's not an easy... Is it the first time you've ever cut your hair? You've got clippers at home, have you?
I invested in some clippers.
Okay. You know, for lockdown purposes, so you could do it yourself?
Well, I just looked and I thought, I need a haircut.
Yeah.
You know, I think the boss here said I look like a mad professor. But I think I've said already, there's a moment in your life where if you were to be cast in Back to the Future, the movie, you'd be cast as the Doc. And that's a sad time for you. You know, I'm not going to be Marty McFly anymore.
Your hair's quite curly, it starts to grow up, doesn't it? It's hair up. That needs to be cut quite short.
Up
and
out. And there was a real...
I could see there was a bit of a kind of homemade look about it. I mean, if you paid 50 quid in Soho for it, I'd be telling you to go back and complain. But it's good. It's not, there or thereabouts at the end of the day.
It's a very nerve-wracking moment where it was very long on the sides and quite short on the top. And it looked like a sort of... Imagine if Friar Tuck had always had that haircut and he'd had hair on the top and more hair on the sides.
Yeah.
And I was quite worried I'd have to call in sick because it just looked so terrible.
Call in sick.
I kept having a go at it. And the issue is, it's, you know, once it's, you can't put it back on, you've got to stick it back on again.
No, you can't. Well, that's very true. So if maybe you've tried the same thing with less success. I don't know. I mean, Max is, I give Max a solid 7 out of 10 for his effort. But if yours is more in the 3s and 4s and it's been noticed by the family, but it's quite a bold thing to do, cutting your own hair.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby and Max Rushton here on Talk Sport, where we know Rod Gilbert for all sorts of funny stuff on TV and in stand-up, but altogether more serious subject of male infertility he's been covering in a new documentary, Rod Gilbert, Stand Up to Infertility. And chat about that and more. Rod joins us. Good afternoon, Rod.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, been a while. Nice to talk to you again. It is a bit of a taboo subject amongst men. I suppose that's why you wanted to take it on. Did this come through sort of personal experience?
Yes. Yeah, it did really. Basically, I've been sort of in and out of fertility treatment for some time with my wife, Sian. And I read a couple of things that really surprised me about it. But also I found myself, when we were there in any fertility treatment environment, whether we were having blood tests or talking to the doctors or whatever situation we were in, I always found that it was my wife that was the point of contact, the one who I was always sat on the outside, you know, in like a best supporting actor role, as I describe it. And she was the one doing all the talking. And even though we both had issues, and I just found myself thinking, why aren't I asking more questions? Why don't I feel comfortable, being more engaged in this and more involved? Why do I seem to be happy to be sort of sitting here, letting my wife do all the hard work? Sort of, and I just thought, I wonder if I'm the only one who does this, or is this a bloke thing? And it's not every man by any means, but I started looking into it and found that, yeah, men, we don't really want to talk about this. We don't engage with it perhaps as much as we should. And if we do want to talk about it, there isn't really anywhere to go.
Mm. Before we talk, we're going to play a clip, Rod. We're going to play a little clip from the documentary, which I think kind of illustrates just what you were talking about there. Let's give you a flavour of it.
So 99% of the people who come to you are women, yeah. Even though male infertility is 50% of the time, it's a factor, if not the sole factor. Yeah. It's mind-blowing. Yeah.
So men account for roughly half of all difficulties to conceive. But if, for various reasons, the fertility industry concerns itself less with men, and men themselves are often happier lurking in the background, keeping mum, are anyone's best interests being served?
It's interesting, Rod. I was reading one of the interviews you did where you sort of say that you can see during the documentary that you're not sure if this is, you know, you want to be doing this. You know, do you want to be the face of infertility? And I think it's really interesting because you'll obviously be talking to lots of radio stations and TV channels about this. But, you know, at TalkSport, there are lots of men who will suffer in silence and all sorts of things and won't want to talk about things that are very, very difficult to talk about. And I don't know how, presumably by doing this, the aim is to encourage men to be open about these sort of things.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the aim of this documentary, is to try and get men to open up and talk about it a bit more. But that's hard, you know. I mean, I've talked about it on stage now while I was doing the documentary. I've talked about it in the documentary. I'm talking to you guys about it. I've done other, like as you said, TV and radio. But as a person, without the cameras and without the radio mic and without the stage, I haven't spoken about this to nobody. No friends, no family, nobody, ever. And I'm not alone. That's a lot of men are like that. And you know, I'm the target audience for this documentary. I've got to overcome the taboo and the stigma and the embarrassment and the shame and the feelings of emasculation. I have to overcome all that. And I'm trying to do it with other men, I guess. I want other men to join me in trying to do that. So once the world opens up again, I'm going to try and pick up the campaign, the Him Fertility campaign that we launched in this documentary, try and pick that up and run with it a bit, you know, and meet other men and get groups talking together, try and work with other charities to see what they can bring to the table as well.
It's interesting that when you reached out to people via social media to set up a kind of support group, you didn't get massive take-up, which kind of backs up. I think you said seven people replied and you all met in a pub, obviously before the virus.
Yes, this is everything before the virus, all of this. So I realised I wasn't talking about it. I thought I'm probably not alone. So I went online to see if there were support groups and places for us to talk. And there were many, 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 many support groups, but all really for women or for couples. And speaking to people in those couple support groups, they were largely women. And the men, if they were there at all, they were sort of often there in a kind of supporting their partner role, sort of still sort of hanging around in there, but they might be sitting at the back of the hall while the everybody else, while the women sat in a circle at the front, you know. So I went online looking for male groups. None. I didn't find anything, nothing at all. There may be some in the world, and I don't want to diminish what anybody else has achieved around the world. There may well be groups, but I didn't find any. So I put a shout out on social media, global shout out for anybody that wanted to meet me for an open sort of discussion about this from somebody who knows who's going through it. And yeah, seven people replied, seven men, and we all met up in a pub in Cardiff. And it's in the documentary we had... possibly, I don't know, I don't get possibly the world's first group of men talking about sperm counts and fertility and stuff in a pub in Cardiff. And it was amazing. It was fabulous.
Yeah.
We've all got a huge amount out of it.
Sure.
There's a first text coming in saying, 100% a bloke thing, Rod. I'm going through exactly the same thing. I'm experiencing the very same feelings you're describing. It's excellent you're bringing a light to this. And I suppose it's a wider question about, you know, masculinity, and, you know, medical problems are medical problems, right? Something can affect you there or somewhere else. And for some reason, we, you know, it's sort of a wider thing about alpha male masculinity. And you know, why would this problem make us feel, like you say, emasculated or, you know, just have a sense of shame where having something else, you know, a problem with your ear doesn't? And like, how we move on from that is quite a big question.
It does go down to the root of, you know, I mean, it's not right, but in many people's eyes, right, it comes down to what makes you a man. It's procreation, isn't it? It's
absolutely. And you know, we're not the first generation of people to spot this. This goes back hundreds or thousands of years, you know, since the dawn of time. I imagine this has been an issue, you know, and we absolutely associate it with masculinity. We associate our fertility with you know, virility, you know, when we're growing up as adolescents. It's all in the school, in our, where I came from, in a comprehensive school in Wales. It was all about who slept with who's lost their virginity first, who's, you know, being with the most people. It's all, and all of that is about the more boxes you tick there, the higher your scores. That's your masculinity, isn't it? That's how we define our masculinity, is through virility and through our, you know. So I've got to choose my words very carefully on daytime.
Yeah, but this time of day, you're doing brilliantly. So it's Sunday. But
very, very much connected to that very complicated ideas of masculinity, so that when people struggle with fertility issues, men, and this incidentally is quite true for women as well, there's well documented that women can feel sort of less of a woman if they struggle with fertility. For men, it's about masculinity. Yeah.
So Stand Up to Infertility, it's streaming on the BBC iPlayer and on BBC Two throughout the UK this Sunday night at 10 o'clock, and I'm sure a lot of people will be tuning in. It's an interesting topic. Before we let you go, we are Talk Sport, and our producer earlier on gave us the sheet. He said, Rod Gilbert's on today. It says you are described as Welsh comedian and badminton enthusiast. And I think this goes back to Would I Lie to You, when everybody thought you having him on, when you said hadn't you played a bit with a top badminton player? You used to train. Is this true?
Well, yeah, I used to play in Old Actonians in West London, Badminton Club, where I played doubles with my partner, Tony, who is, and Would I Lie to You, appearing there, I would think, well, I don't want to be too harsh, but well into his 80s, yeah. But a wonderful, talented, a brilliant, brilliant badminton player, and we had a lot of fun playing as a badminton couple pair for years, yeah.
And you, I take it, I know you do radio as well and stuff, but and thankfully we've all been able to keep going. But you'd probably like to get back to stand up sometime soon in front of an audience, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, I foolishly gave up my radio show on Radio Wales that I'd done for 12 years. I gave it up just before the pandemic to go back on tour.
It's quite hard to just walk back in, isn't it?
It is. I'm sorry about that. Did I say I was leaving? I said I was on holiday.
Yeah, exactly. Can I have my job back, please? Yeah, no. I gave it up and went back to stand-up, and I was loving that. And I was on tour when this happened. And so, yeah, I haven't... I had a week's work of TV work last year, That was it. So, yeah, I haven't really worked since March, and there's no sign of that in sight. But on looking at it positively, when we do come back and when live performance of all kinds returns, I think the atmosphere is going to be electric.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, people are going to be just so up for it, definitely. All the best, Rod. Good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Yeah, guys, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Rod Gilbert, stand-up infertility, as we said, Sunday night, 10 o'clock. BBC Two, and it's available now on the iPlayer. But
interesting story, and I was interested. I was interested to see how you do the gear change from infertility to badminton. I thought you did it. No, it's a sign of a real pro there, Paul.
Yeah, I couldn't link them. No, I mean it was just. said we are talk sport. It normally gets me out of jail with some clunky gear changes. So we should ask you about sport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, as the excellent My Sporting Life series is available on the TalkSport app, you can listen to a huge amount on the archive at your leisure. We're dipping into one every week in the company of the host, Danny Kelly. Good afternoon, Dan.
Hello, chaps. How are you? All good?
Yeah, we're good, thank you. Now, Bruce Grobbelaar we're going to discuss today, the former Liverpool keeper. And when you got together with him for the My Sporting Life, I understand it wasn't the first time you guys had met.
No, and I had a sleepless night beforehand because Bruce, of course, as you know, we're going to play out, has had a pretty interesting life. But he came on the television show I used to have on Channel 4, the late night television show Under the Moon. And at the time, he was still playing, and he had come under investigation by the Football Association for taking illicit payments. You know, the details escape me now, but it was a big deal at the time, and it was all very, I wonder if we can talk about this with Bruce, et cetera, et cetera. So at the end of the show, I think, Paul, you know me well enough to know, I thought the only thing that could possibly work here is to produce an envelope out of my pocket, a brown envelope, and pass his fee for the show to him live on air. And I thought he took it in reasonably good heart. I hear from other people in the green room afterwards that wasn't entirely true. But I mean, he didn't say it to me. So this is, of course, is years before, and we come to do this is My Sporting Life with Bruce. And so I wondered if he remembered it. Yes, he did remember it. But it was all hail fellow well met and water under the proverbial by that stage. Because I think one of the things you can say about Bruce Grobbelaar is that he's a big man and he's also trained in various combat arts, and you wouldn't want to cross him except in the name of entertainment.
No, that's right. I mean, you did talk about that, didn't you? I mean, he had a life before football, and he talks
extraordinary
about fighting in the Rhodesian Civil War. I mean, I think we're going to play a clip now and we'll talk. And he admitted that not only had he seen many of his friends killed at that stage, he had killed himself.
We got, you know, shot at. One of, you know, friends of mine getting killed right next to you, and you got to carry on going, getting pinned down in places where you didn't know where this the firing was coming from, until my machine gunner said, "I know where it's coming from," shot him out of the tree. So, you know, you go through experiences like that.
Bruce, I'm going to ask this question because we're two human beings, but I don't ask it lightly. Did you ever kill anybody?
I have. Unfortunately, it was it had to be done because it was either them or myself.
How do you feel about that, you know, decades later?
I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it, and I never have been, but it was a part of my life and that we had to do it. If you didn't, you're not going to come out of here alive.
Did it change you being a soldier?
It made me grow up a lot quicker, and it made me understand about life and death a lot easier.
It's fascinating, isn't it, Danny? Yeah. You know, when you, it's so easy to judge when you have not been in positions, and you think of just the pure accident of birth of to, you know, what you may have to face in your life.
No, it's a tragedy, of course. You know, 30, 40 years later, we're talking about it's a tragedy for the people involved on both sides because, you know, as you say, but for the absolute piece of luck of being born into the kind of stable democracy we are, you don't know where it would take you. I mean, that question, and indeed the one about the accusations of financial irregularities, I had a little, it's not a trick, it's a technique. Before we do these long, in-depth interviews, I would always ask them, is there anything you don't want to talk about? And I respected that, because often it was something to do with their private life, you know, some issue of their divorce or something, the various guests. But once they said no, ask me what you like, then it's kind of been put back into their court. And so, you know, I was able to ask any question I wanted to ask in 99.9% of the cases. Obviously, that was a pretty unique one. Have you actually yourself ever killed anyone?
Wow. There was a lot of football chat as well. He also talked...
Oh, thank God. Yeah,
yes,
thank God.
He talked about Kenny Dalglish. And we'll play a little clip now of chatting about Kenny and his affection for him.
Kenny was a natural choice. We all thought that he was a great leader. And so he took over, and it, again, it was like effortless. That when just everybody had the utmost respect for Kenny, and we listened to him. But he also had the backroom staff of Ronnie Moran and Roy Evans with him, so that never left us. So the backroom staff, the biting at your heels was Ronnie Moran, and the soothing was Roy Evans.
Dalglish doesn't give much away in public. What kind of a bloke is he?
A fantastic person. I know in public he's very, very dour, and you can say he's a dour Scot, but he is not. He's once you get him warmed up and in a room without any, you know, media or newspaper or press, yeah, he opens up.
Yeah, that's been my experience as well. He's it's interesting, isn't it? That it must be fascinating just chatting to all of these guys, Danny. What's it been like reliving some of it? Do you go back now and again and have a listen again?
Do you know what? I haven't done it really, Paul, but the response to this slot we've been doing and to the as TalkSport gradually putting them up as a kind of archive, and who knows, I may do some more if this wretched pandemic ever ends. I haven't listened back to them, but I am immensely proud of them as a body of work. Now, I've done a lot of work in the last 40 years, some of it absolutely rotten and ridiculous, and some of it much of it actually rotten and ridiculous. But that is one thing that, you know, thanks to my producer, John, and the guests themselves, I'm really proud of it. And yes, so I haven't listened back, but the response I can tell you, Paul, to this slot I've been doing here on the H&J show has been extraordinary. People obviously have treasured these things, are going back to them, you know, I've really enjoyed the response. Dalglish is a difficult one because I never got to do Kenny himself, but I did dozens of footballers who'd played or been managed by him, and not one of them had a bad word to say about him. The problem is, of course, if he'd been anything other than a fellow Scot, and so well respected by Alex Ferguson, at least Alex Ferguson would have had a go at him, but nobody has a go at Kenny Dalglish, do they? He's a great man.
I should say, Danny, you know, with an interview like that, I know we've got a break, but with an interview like that, when you know you've got to ask, you know, that is a big question, right? The one about, you know, if you ever killed a man, to Bruce Grobler, that is a really hard skill because it's on your mind for the whole rest of the interview, and you ask it in such a brilliantly human way. We don't need to slap each other on the back that much or blow smoke up your backside, Danny, but you do it in a really, and that's not an easy thing to do.
Do you know what? I found the best thing to do in those long, long interviews, and many of them took 3 hours to do, was to forget about the big question, deal with the ones that are in the moment when they're, you know, ludicrous things about, you know, the junior school team you play for. If you treat them with the same Gravity, as you know, the big one is coming. The big one will look after itself. Yeah. You've got to ask it, so there's no point in worrying about it in advance, is there? Make sure the rest of the program's up to the same standard.
Good stuff, Danny. Catch up with you next week. Thanks very much.
Absolutely. Cheers, men. Bye.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Thomas Tuchel made some changes. I think surprised quite a few people. Certainly that Chelsea fan who phoned in to Adrian and said he wanted Tuchel gone based on his first selection of 11 players. But look, it was 0-0. He said he took a lot of positives from it. Tony Cascarino joins us now, former Chelsea striker and weekend breakfast show host, to tell us what he made of it and any subtle bits and pieces he may have spotted. Hiya, Tone.
Hiya, Max. Hiya, Paul. You okay?
Yeah, we're good. We're good, thank you. Yeah,
Very unaroused, Paul.
It was hard to get aroused about that game, let's be honest. It was, the lineup, first off, I mean, as I said, quite a lot of Chelsea fans were surprised. I mean, were you?
Well, yes, because I was surprised by his comment before the game even started, because he said it's, you know, probably one of the most difficult selections I've ever had to make. And I was thinking, well, have you watched a video or certain number of videos before you coached your first game? Watch their last 10 games and you might have got an idea who their best team is. Mm. You know, I found it a very strange comment. The performance, hated every minute of it. Especially the first half. I'll tell you for why, Max and Paul. Look, I could have gone and put the kettle on, made a cup of tea when Chelsea started to move. I probably could have got to my cup of tea and started drinking it by the time they got to the 18-yard box.
Yeah.
Now, there's one. I watched a lot of Dutch football, and one of my biggest criticisms of it, apart from probably Ajax when they had a very adventurous, very dynamic team, is that everybody played the same way, possession-based, no purpose. Now, you've got a similar scenario that's happened in France in the last 10 years, where teams would play this way, dominating the ball, never want to lose possession, but never really hurt you. And I thought, you know, look, PSG had Di Maria, they had obviously Neymar and Mbappe that could always make a difference in a game. But I was I hated what I saw in the first half, because to me, possession-based football, the Premier League does pose different problems for you when you play that style. And look, Wolves offered nothing. I mean, they had two glorious chances, but they offered nothing going the other way. I didn't like it. It's the first game, and look, I could be totally wrong here, but if that's the way Chelsea are going to play, I'll tell you what, Stamford Bridge, if there was any fans in, they'd be booing. They won't want their team playing that way.
I was really interested chatting to Ben Foster yesterday, Cass, about how, you know, the players really do read a lot into the first team that a new manager picks, as if this is some kind of blueprint for exactly how he's going to play. And so I wonder, those players who didn't make it, obviously Reece James and Mason Mount amongst those, sort of how they'll be feeling. And if that is true, is if they will be thinking, God, this is a real issue for me, you know, Billy Gilmore not making the squad.
Mm. Yeah, Max, well, there'll be loads of clubs looking at that and thinking, can we snatch any of them players in the summer if that's the way, you know, he's going to go about it? Because there was no way, that team selection didn't reflect on the performances of this season by a lot of individuals, especially Mason Mount. Pulisic, I can't see why he wasn't in the team. I do feel there's a lot to grow on, as in we'll see his idea of his best 11 probably within the next two or three games. But it was just a strange selection to me, and I hate the way they, you know, Kovacic and Jorginho dominating the ball, and the amount of times they looked like they were in a good position, they robbed the opposition Wolves of the ball, burst forward and went backwards.
Yeah.
And I found that really strange, because, look, there's many ways to skin a cat and win football matches, but to me, I don't see that. With Chelsea, have got so many good players that can hurt you with technical ability, speed, their physical presence. They're a very, very good, talented squad of players. And if you're going to play that way, I think teams will be quite comfortable in letting Chelsea have the ball without hurting them.
I've seen a few Sarri ball comparisons today, which is sort of pretty damning. Would you say that or not?
On that evidence yesterday, look, I've seen a lot of PSG. He had three extraordinary talents up front, and maybe more. You could add in, you know, players like Verratti. PSG's a hell of a midfielder that can keep the ball for fun. I'm not sure that they can dominate midfields against certain teams in our Premier League, because there's better ball-passing five-a-side teams than them. You know, I found it very frustrating to watch. I thought, really? This is, you know, I heard, it's a mix between Klopp and Pep. I was thinking, well, what mix is that? Because what I saw in the first half, okay, they were better in the second, but not a great deal, considering Wolves really made no attempt to try and win the game.
What were you expecting, Tony? How did you expect him to approach the game, having watched these other teams?
Well, I would have suspected there would have been more breaking from midfield. There were players in getting numbers. The amount of times I looked and saw one body in the 18-yard box, or best two. That is not a way to win a lot of football matches. Chelsea are expected to get players forward. Havertz was okay last night, but if you've got Pulisic, you've got Odoi, you've got Mason Mount breaking from midfield, I just didn't get what Giroud was in the team for, because the amount of times they tried to slip it down the sides for Giroud, he's not a slip down the side. You've got to get out wide, get into areas, use his presence and get bodies to join him. I just didn't see that at all from Chelsea yesterday. And I don't know what games he did watch. He must have watched some before he took the job of, you know, Chelsea's performances. But the team was it was probably the one you could never have guessed.
And what about, you know, this idea that... I was surprised Azpilicueta was picked over Reece James.
Yeah, and Azpilicueta is not the best at keeping the ball, Max. You know, the amount of times late on the game, he kept threading the ball or trying to thread the ball through defenders and you know, Wolves picked the ball up and then started running at Chelsea. I thought that Reece James would play. I thought he would suit too well. He would play with a three at the back in a slightly different way. But you've got, whatever you do in football, whatever style you play, you have to be able to turn the opposition, play with purpose and cause them problems. And Chelsea have so much talent. Not to do that is something bizarre. Look, it's one game in. I'm sure there will be different changes and different, you know, performances within weeks to come. But I would be bothered if I was a Chelsea fan, because if you're obsessed with, you know, possession and that's your main weapon as a team, I don't think that will serve Chelsea well.
Tell old Cascarino, this text said, the word for styles of play for a mix of Klopp and Pep is plop.
Yeah,
and Chelsea yesterday.
It was impotent.
Yeah, they're playing plop, apparently. So,
plop ball.
Yeah, plop ball. You don't want to be playing plop ball. That wouldn't be good, would it? Before we let you go, Max has got an online poker evening with his mates tonight. So any tips for him, Tony? I mean, I don't think they want to let you join in because they'll all be having to remortgage their houses. But any tips?
High stakes, £10 in, Cass. What should I do?
Well, how many are you playing, Max? How many of you?
About six, five or six of us.
Play really steady. Let them make the mistakes and you just crush them when you get it.
That's how I play my football. That's how I do my broadcasting.
Thanks a lot, Tony. All the best. Take care. Tony Cascarino, they're back Saturday morning.
He was scathing there, wasn't he? I wasn't expecting that.
No, he was not impressed, was he? I mean, Andy, we're going to focus on the birthday spread here, do most of his shooting from the hip tomorrow, but we'll get a gut reaction to last night.
I'm looking forward to Andy's, how Andy felt about the recoveries. I think Andy would be very pro.
He would have been very pleased with 16 recoveries. He didn't mention them last night as we were exchanging texts during the games. I mean, many of which I can't read out.
Do you have to have lost the ball in the first place?
I would imagine so.
The more recoveries, the more you've lost.
Well, the other team have got it off of you, and you get it back off of them. Yeah. I guess.
So is that good?
Well, that's true.
Trying to keep the ball and then
doesn't bear a great deal of scrutiny.
If you have no recoveries, it means you haven't lost the ball once.
Yeah. Well, that
I don't want to get. I don't want to hammer plop at this stage.
It's not good, is it, Pop? It's not a good way to start.
I'm sorry. I've really brought the tone down of this show, Paul. I'm sorry about that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Max was telling us earlier on, I was telling you on his behalf, that he cut his own hair the other day. And, you know, a good solid 7 out of 10 attempt, really, in lockdown. I think people are quite forgiving at the moment, aren't they? I mean, I should have got mine cut last week, so by the end of this,
carry it well,
it's going to be a bit long at the back. It's going to be a little
rat tail.
It's not going to look good. It's going to be, it goes full Ken Barlow as it gets marvellous. Longer. This comes from John from Burton, the Wolves fan. He said, I once cut my hair with clippers and asked my wife to straighten the back. When I looked in the mirror, it was at an angle. So I said, well, can you just try and get it a bit straighter? The more she tried, the higher my hairline went. The more I got angry and the more she cried with laughter. I walked around for 2 weeks with a fake bad neck so no one would notice, and I've still not forgiven her, he says.
So what do you think? He put one of those things, you know, those The thing you have
I'm wearing one. Yeah, I've got one of these sort of things. It looks like permanent things, Formula One driver around. Things. Yeah, yeah, so you have to wear this as a face mask.
This is Castle, I think, in Birmingham. I think his name's Castle. He says, our manager on a Sunday morning always used to shout, quality ball, every time someone was just about to pass from midfield or put a cross in. I finally lost the plot after the 100th time he said it, walking towards him, shouting a tirade of abuse and swear words, including the sentence, what do you think we're trying to do? I never played for them again. He said he never used it in any other game afterwards.
These phrases are often known to the coach but nobody else. A couple of examples of that. We had a manager at Cuxton called Paul, says one of the listeners. The only phrase he used was wing-backs, tuck in. Trouble is we didn't play with wing-backs. And on a similar note, we had an assistant manager at Maltby Juniors who used to shout, get up 'em. And his favourite was spread out in bunches, says Jack. I mean, you kind of don't quite know what they're talking about, but just go along with it.
Charlie says, we watch out in the second half. They'll be throwing the salt and pepper at us. And I want to see sexy football, boys. We were under 11, says Charlie. Sounds inappropriate, doesn't we? Anyway, do you want to know about a 4,000-year-old beetle?
Yeah, go on then.
You don't have to.
No, okay, can you bring it back to sport in any way?
I think so. A 4,000-year-old beetle species hailing from Egypt may have lived in Britain. Scientists at London's Natural History Museum have re-examined two specimens which were donated to the museum in the 1970s. The 3-inch-long oak Capricorn beetles were discovered by a farmer inside a piece of ancient oak in a peat bog in East Anglia. Max Barclay, the senior curator, says these beetles are older than the Roman Empire. They were alive and chewing the inside of that piece of wood when the pharaohs were building the pyramids in Egypt. The big debate, Paul, is who will the 4,000-year-old beetle, because now qualifies to play for both Egypt and England.
Yeah.
So does Gareth, because there's the
got a difficult choice.
Who's the lad? Is it Musiala, who's out in Germany?
Yeah.
The 17-year-old, and it might get picked by...
They're going to try and pick him first, aren't they?
Maybe Gareth, Gareth should steal a march on the Egyptians by picking... Maybe he's calmer than Jordan Pickford.
Yeah.
You know, do a job. He has six legs.
Possible.
That dung beetle. There you are.
Yeah. I'm often reading sort of non-sporting stuff, hoping I can bring it back to sport.
Yes, much like that story.
Much like that
That's
story.
That's a perfect example.
And one of them the other day was in a little kind of Sunday magazine that had an interview with Estelle, the singer, American Boy, etc.
Oh,
And the question was, who would you invite to a dinner party? And I read it and I was just so hoping she'd say the former Southend and Spurs fullback Dean Austin. They almost like turn into a game of Culver House. She listed off 5 or 6 very obscure footballers of the 80s or 90s. But sadly, she didn't. She went with Ella Fitzgerald, Mary J. Blige, a woman I always feel for, because how often has she been called Mary Bilge in the press by a sort of errant typographer? It can't be easy being Mrs. Bilge, can you? Every time, wherever she goes to the doctors, Mrs. It's Blige. It must get on your nerves. It's not Bilge. Look at it again. Oh, sorry. It didn't register.
Well, it was Florian Lejeune's dinner party that was the best one, wasn't it? From the was it Florian Lejeune from the Newcastle United programme? Was said who was?
Right.
No, maybe Florian Lejeune was. It was who's the Crystal Palace guy? Was the dinner party Damien Delaney?
Oh yeah,
who wanted to invite Florian Lejeune was how to dispose of a body. I'll get on to that.
What the Crystal Palace programme asked him how he would dispose of a body?
No, the Newcastle United programme asked them how to dispose of a body.
As part of one of these sort of player get to know Florian Lejeune.
Exactly. Wow. I'll get on to that. Damien Delaney's dinner party, and I'm sure we've discussed this before, was Keith Richards, Joseph Stalin, Genghis Khan, Chairman Mao, and Napoleon Bonaparte.
Wow.
That's quite the dinner.
I mean, Keith's going to feel a bit of a gooseberry there, isn't he? Plans of world domination.
Danny Kelly could do those.
Imagine that. The Spurs programme had a kind of questionnaire. They used to ask players every week, do you believe in ghosts and have you ever seen one? And it was a bit odd, you know, quite random. Ramon Vega would say something like, I haven't seen one, but I do believe there is a... You know what I mean? They'd get involved. Some of them would get involved. Most of them would just say no, next question. But I think the old player questionnaire in a programme, I think it's all very well being in a magazine because it's those stock questions, as we found with Cruyff or Binney.
Absolutely.
But in a programme, it's a bit weird, isn't it?
Florian Lejeune said... in the programme published for Saturday's match against Chelsea, this is a season or two ago, I would put it in the boot of my car, drive out to sea, put it on a boat, and throw it into the sea with weights on it.
clearly been watching The Sopranos.
He's been watching a series called You, and it's all about that. But so it's very specific. I think Jonathan Wilson went into great detail about how this is not, it's really not a good way of doing it.
No.
Because there's a paper trail, you've got to get a ticket for the boat.
Yeah.
Then you've taken the car onto the boat, but the car's not on the boat anymore. So Florian Lejeune is going to get caught.
He's going to get caught.
Vera is going to catch Florian Lejeune. Yeah.
Fantastic. It's thank you for that, Max.
No, total pleasure.
Yeah, it's Paul Hawksby and Max Rushton here on TalkSport, and we're going to start looking ahead to the game tonight between the
Spurs.
Are you
nervous? How are you feeling about it?
I don't know. I mean, Liverpool got players coming back. Jose said some very odd things yesterday. There's some talk of Reguilon not being fit, and Davis isn't fit, apparently. We'll talk to Dean about that. And then he said, oh, we've got more bad news coming tomorrow.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, thanks. Just what you want to
hear.
Could
play Gareth Bale at left back.
Let's ask. We'll ask Dean about that because I think we may have to. I think wing back. I'm not sure he can play left back anymore. I've not seen that in his locker.
Just go back to the old days, couldn't he?
Yeah.
That's where he started.
Yeah,
do it for the team. Imagine keeps Mane quiet. Be a great night, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
How many recoveries would Gareth Bale do?
Well,
thousands.
So 17 recoveries,
exactly.
Quite possibly.
He'll be exactly the right amount of arousal
to
recover enough times to keep Mane shut out.
There are certain players you'd look out for recoveries more than others. I mean, I'd be looking at less for recoveries with Harry Winks and Tongi Ndombele as I would possibly Big Dave Sanchez, who's often in recovery mode, having lost it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Here we go then, me versus Max, the birthday spread, 10 birthdays, we've got to guess the ages of the people, the margin of error builds, Jeff Peters is the scorer, Andy Jacobs is the gagmeister and the man supplying the birthdays. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, Max and Jeff. And I've only just got over the excitement of watching Chelsea last night. It was a real thriller, wasn't it?
So many recoveries, Andy.
Oh, yeah. Tremendous.
There's some weird noises.
I can't hear you at all, Paul. Your microphone has been cancelled.
Hello.
I seem to have gone on.
I'm back again.
Oh, you're back. You're back now.
I'm not.
You're not back. Do you want to come and join this one or go and sit around there? Is Jeff Peters there? Hi, Jeff. This is all my plan to take over this show. Hey, Jeff.
Hello from the nerve centre. And while Paul sorts his microphone, let me point out that Paul has won three in a row, but Max is doing quite well at winning the individual rounds. Just needs to work on the distance from the correct age. Right. So progress is being made.
I'm a match play birthday spreader, to be honest. I like for the Ryder Cup of the birthday spread, I come out and it's much better. Are you working yet, Paul?
It seems to be flitting and it's gone a bit Norman.
Yes. No, you're off again. Why don't you go and sit round there?
You should do that. You should do the show from home, Paul. It's much more reliable.
I'll be a guest. Now, Jeff, Billy's been in touch, Jeff, to say nothing against Jeff, but why not employ the general election vote counters from the Sunderland South to keep score during the birthday scrape? Speed and accuracy guaranteed. What do you have to say to that, Jeff?
No offence taken.
Okay, now, Paul is sitting in the newsreader chair. This is quite exciting, making him more official. No, you're not working in that one either. What's happened to Paul Hawksby? Why is every microphone? I've done this. It's my intent. Go on. Go one round, Paul, and see if that works. Go on, go one round. This is very exciting. No, this one's not working either, Paul.
It's not working either. Okay, I'll keep moving around the room.
Here we go. Now he's now onto the...
You're going to have to be like John and John Paul and the Beatles.
Is this one working?
Yeah,
we found a working
Welcome
microphone.
Welcome back, Paul Hawksby. That's exciting.
I think we should put a call into engineering, would be my guess.
I wouldn't bother.
Gossie and Adrian aren't going to like that much.
We are still socially distant, I'd like to point out.
We better crack on. Look at the time. We've got 10 birthdays.
Chaos already and we haven't started.
Take it away, Andy.
Right, okay, here we go. And the first birthday today, it's a very, very happy birthday to the fine singer-songwriter, Alicia Keys. Alicia recently, she just painted her whole house in a lovely graphite colour. I don't know what it is about Keys and Grey.
Oh, hey, beautiful, beautiful.
Great banter there, Andy.
Is it you going first? Who's going first, you?
Oh, I'll go first.
You go first.
Alicia Keys, is she older or younger than me? I'm going to say 38.
I'd say, she's probably around that. 40, blind 40, as they say in bingo circles.
She is 40.
I wish you well. Okay, blimey,
well
that
done,
was.
Here we go already.
Bit of luck.
That's
okay,
a disgrace.
So, well, I think we can work out the score there, Jeff, can't we?
Direct hit for Paul. So he's on zero. Max is on two.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Very happy birthday to Professor Sir Michael Marmot, the director of the Institute of Health Equity at the University College London, and president of the World Medical Association from 2015 to 16. Get all that on a business card. Sir Michael Marmot, and of course he polarizes opinion that people either love or hate. Marmot.
Of course,
that's your best one in the last month, Andy. I enjoyed that one.
I was so caught up in all the things he did.
To be honest,
I didn't really take in his years. Did you say 2016?
15 to 16. 15 he was in post.
The Professor Sir Michael Marmot.
The boy Marmot. I'd say 67. I'm going to go for. Okay. What do
Michael
you think,
Marmot.
Max?
I think 63.
He is, in fact, 76.
Oh, blimey, the boy Marmot worked on, didn't he? Past retirement.
Yeah.
He's actually 75. He's 76 next month, according to Wikipedia.
Oh, dear. Look at this.
Oh, it's a Stuart.
Well, come Stuart. On, get out of it.
I think you're going to have to stick with the Jacobs ages.
Well, I get them out of the Times, so I
oh,
think they're
okay.
quite reliable.
Don't you know?
They've been going a bit longer than Jeff Peters, I'd say. Oh, here we go.
Aye. Getting personal okay. now.
What's the score? I go with Jacobs, but I will be writing to my ombudsman later about this.
Okay, Paul is 8 out. Max is 12 out, so it's Paul 8, Max 14.
That means I'm winning.
You're
okay.
winning, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, happy birthday to the geneticist and director of the Francis Crick Institute from 2010 to 2015, Sir Paul Nurse. And he was batting at the non-striker's end when I had a problem with the background behind the bowler's arm. I'd say to him, quick, nurse, the screens. I want to move them.
Oh, I see, of course.
Okay, very
yes.
good. Sir Paul Nurse is 80.
Okay. Oh, blimey, Paul Nurse is 80. I'd say Paul Nurse is...
the bells.
I don't know.
Was that a terrible guess?
It might have been for the gag, a delayed reaction to the gag. 79.
You're sorry. That's a dirty way of
no,
playing.
No, just
ball.
I'm just that's, early doors. Early in, I'm just
filth.
I'm Thomas
12,
Tuchel.
I'm
just
12 ahead.
I'm playing in front of you at the moment, but I
need some recovery.
I'll warm up in the second half of the game.
As Max said, I've got on for a lot.
He went 80.
You want to know how old he is?
80 and 70.
Oh, 72.
72. Oh, okay. Right, fair enough. So,
Jeff?
So Paul is 7 out. That takes him to 15. Max is 8 out. That takes him to 22. Paul is in the lead by 7.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to understand when Jeff's in charge. Right, what's next, Andy?
It's Baroness Julia Cumberledge. Baroness Julia Cumberledge, the Conservative politician and health minister, 92 to 97. She always finishes every day with a lovely glass of that liqueur made by monks. Yes, Benedictine Cumberledge.
God, blimey.
Wow.
Oy, wow. Andy liked that one.
Well, 3 days off. Did, 3 days off for that.
Congratulations.
It took me 3 days, that one.
She's got to be about 92. I'm going really scorched earth, 92, okay, the Cumberledge.
Okay. Yeah, I think you must be up there.
Cumber Eight, legend in the
but
building.
But I need to get some points, don't I? 87.
She's a 78.
Oh!
78.
Sorry, Mrs. Cumberledge.
She got the job early there, didn't she?
She did,
Cumberledge.
Yeah.
She did, yeah.
Was it under scores, Jeff?
It is Mansfield 0, Northampton 1. No, Northampton 0. Paul is 14 out, Max is 9 out. Paul's on 29, Max 31.
Oh, okay. Very good game.
Jeff's getting good at this. It's happy birthday to Ian. Well, I know Ian Philby from the Jules Group lifestyle brand. Ian Philby.
Who?
Ian Philby. I don't know.
No, I didn't hear it.
Well, I didn't know much about it, so I asked Trevor Francis about him, and he wasn't sure. He said he doesn't Philby with much confidence.
What was his title, please, Ian Philby?
He's from the Jules... Was he the Jules Group?
The Jules Rimet. Group or Jules Group.
The Jules Rimet Group.
Okay.
I can't believe lifestyle.
Am I first or are you first?
I think
it's
I'm
you,
first. I can't
first.
Believe I'm only 2 hour. I thought you were miles ahead.
No,
anyway.
No, you've clawed it back.
Ian Philby from the Jules Rimet Group is...
Jules,
he's
not Rimet.
62.
Yeah, he'd probably be around that, the boy Ian. Clickety click 66, Andy.
Oh, we got an exciting competition. He's 62.
Oh, I think that puts Max in front, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's Paul 33, Max 31. So Max in the lead.
And is that the halfway stage?
It is the halfway stage.
Let's crack on then. As the moose gets
okay,
upset,
yeah.
We in there is time.
Oh, don't good. Bother. Don't worry about it, really.
I'm not worried about it, Andy.
No,
don't worry.
Go on then.
No. Professor William Wisdom, the chair in Molecular Neuroscience, Imperial College London. And yeah, he's still doing that job, Professor William Wisden. Yeah. And every year he brings out a little yellow book detailing all his activities and the five best molecular neuroscientists of the year.
Of course he does. What does he call it? Williams.
Exactly. Yes.
I think Adrian and Goffey are doing their top five molecular scientists at 5 o'clock on
Very young, isn't it? I go 65. What do you think, Max?
I think 64.
Oh, you're being a bit naughty now.
Tactical. That's tactical. He's 57.
Okay. You've opened up a bit of a lead. So what has that done to it, Jeff?
It is. Paul is 8 out. Max is 7 out. Yeah. So it's 41 to Paul and 38 to Max.
Okay. Come on. I just don't need a Bethel Wilmot now.
No.
Christopher Hampton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, playwright.
That's right. Yeah, screenwriter and Atonement. Not And Atonement. He wrote Atonement.
He wrote Atonement. Yeah.
I always, I play with him a lot of charity cricket, actually. I always used to get him out, snick to the keeper. Yes, I often got Hampton caught.
Okay, so he wrote Atonement. Now, I remember interviewing Keira Knightley and the fella that was in it. I can't remember who that was.
Tony Drago.
Never forget it.
No, he's that really, he's incredibly famous Scottish actor. Completely, my mind is completely gone. I played football with him recently, anyway. Christopher.
Ewan McGregor?
John Hannah.
Not Ewan McGregor. The other one.
Oh, okay. The other one. Okay, go on. Don't worry about that. Christopher Hampton.
Is...
James McAvoy.
58.
James McAvoy. Thank you very good much. Work, Jeff.
58.
What?
Oh, he's 58. I think Christopher Hampton's older than that because he also did Liaison Dangereuse and loads of other stuff.
Oh, no.
74.
Oh, it could be a game clincher. He's 75.
Oh, the old Christopher Hampton move.
I've been Hampton caught. This is devastating.
You have been Hampton caught. So what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Paul is 1 out. Max is 17 out. It's Paul 42, Max 55.
Ooh, 13 in it now. Do you want to play snookers?
Come on,
I'll
this
be
is
a
Andy,
bit dirty.
This is where I need a Cambridge United fullback from 1990s.
Who we got
instead of that? We've got the Conservative MP for Winchester, the Health and Primary Care Minister from 2017 to 19, Steve Brine. Steve Brine. I saw him at a party last year. Brine was completely pickled.
Blimey. Steve. Jeff liked that one. I'd say Steve Brine. I'm going first, am I? Yeah, I'm going first. Steve Brine is... Yeah. 62. What do you think?
Can
I go bold?
I've got to go bold. I had to go two. How many are we on? 3, 4, 5, 6. 54.
54, okay.
47.
It's nip and tuck, isn't it?
That was good from me. Well done, Max.
Yeah. Well done, Max. Having a little chat to himself. Pathetic.
That's ridiculous.
What's the scores, Max?
Paul is 15 out. Max is 7 out. Yeah. 57 to Paul, 62 to Max.
Two to go. Birthday number 9, Jules Pfeiffer, the cartoonist, Pulitzer Prize winner from 1986, writer of Carnal Knowledge in 1971. Jules Pfeiffer. Yeah. And I gave him a lift to Lords, actually. I got my name up on the honours board for taking Pfeiffer.
Hey. 88.
Um, 91, I'm going to go for Andy.
Oh, sensational work, Paul. He's 92.
Oh, well done. So what has that done to the scores? There's still one to go.
It is. Paul, 58. Yeah. Max, 66. There's 8 in it.
One
to go.
And I go first time. Yeah. Okay, here we go, Andy. Final one.
Okay, the final birthday of the day is the fine music and artistic director and conductor Gustavo Dudamel. Gustavo Dudamel from the Los Angeles Philharmonic. And he came to me with a completely unrealistic demand for a 200-piece orchestra. I said, it's far too costly. I'd say to him, Gustavo Dudamel.
Oh, wow.
Blimey.
Well, I wouldn't have ended with that one.
No. I wouldn't open with it and I wouldn't end with it.
No one's demanding an encore.
Don't you know I saved the worst to last? Yeah. It's always ascending
order,
bury
them in the middle, you know, 6 and 7. Dudamel. There we are. There it is. The boy Dudamel. You know, this. You could get lucky. I haven't got a clue.
Okay.
He could be, if he's still doing the job, 63. What do you think?
Okay, I'm going to say 72.
What is Andy?
You don't know this guy, do you? He's a really famous conductor with like black hair and curly hair. He's 40.
Oh, oh, I could have gone either way. You could have won it.
You
damn
won it.
It.
You could have won it. So, what's the final score, Jeff?
God, this makes it difficult when you're so far out.
How dare you?
Can you make it slightly...
Can I have Mike Dean trolling the player during the game?
Paul is 23 out, Max is 32 out. So Paul finishes on 81 and Max finishes on 98. It's four wins in a row for Paul Hawksley. Well,
great game. He is the master.
The class told just at the end.
He's just much more experienced player.
Andy, we'll get your more considered take on that thriller last night tomorrow. You join us. So we'll catch up with you at one. Cheers, Annie.
Cheers, right, guys.
Brilliant. Well done, Jeff. Bye, top work. We'll catch up with you next week. Thanks.
Cheers, guys. Take care.
There we are. Jeff Peters, official score. Andy Jacobs back tomorrow for
well
one.
Well played, Paul. Well played.
Thank you very much, Max. Very magnanimous of you. It was quite the game.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. Well, Max, so let's hope they're all as tight as that.
Listen, I don't think
the scoreline reflected the game, did it?
It sounds to be... Martin's just said Max needs to be relegated from the birthday spread. Listen, it all went on that last conductor, and I should have known that.
It did. You know? That's right. Well,
Cambridgeshire County Youth Orchestra second clarinet, and I didn't know that.
And you didn't know, so that was an pretty remiss of you. Thank you, Max. You're back with me on Tuesday, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, if selected.
Brilliant. Andy Jacobs is here tomorrow, and indeed Monday. But if you can listen, great. If not, the podcast available as always at around 5.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.